right. Who knows what a virus is? What is a virus? Anybody know? Journey, you know what a virus is? Michaela, what's a virus, darling? Poison! You must have been listening to Pawpaw, haven't you? I get stuff from people all the time, all over the world. And a guy sent me that Saturday. He's like, look up the word virus. Look at what it means. And it does. It's a Latin word, virus. That's a Latin word. We get our words in English from Latin, Greek, just mingled. English is a mingled language. We get them from everywhere. And virus literally means poison, like from a poisonous tree. Okay? Like the vine of Sodom in Deuteronomy 32. The vine of Sodom is the opposite of the vine of Christ. The vine of Christ is the Word of God. He said, I am the true vine, and he that abideth in me shall bring forth much fruit. The vine of Sodom, mentioned in Deuteronomy 32, its grapes are gall, its clusters are bitter. In other words, there's nothing sweet. And just think about the life that Jesus has called us to live versus the life that we used to live. The life we have now is sweet. I don't care if you're having the worst day in the world. You can lean on Jesus during those days. And that's sweet. But a life without the Lord, it's a bitter, hard life. People cover that up with more parties, more drugs, more whatever. They cover that up. But it's a hard life. And then he said, in fact, we might as well turn there. Deuteronomy 32, that would be a good place to start. But he said the wine from that is poison. It's absolute poison. So we're studying the Word, the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible, what the Bible says about the Bible. And we'll get into our prayer request here in a little bit. We want to remember, and I want you to think about and just pray for him throughout the service. Sister Rose's grandson, Adam, I've known him for years, and he's a young man. How old is Adam? 30? I figured he's about your age. Anyway, he's in a coma right now, and he's got some heart failure going on, blocked arteries. It's bad, and he's got several children, and he doesn't know the Lord. He came to school here for a little while, and he was hard to teach, I'll tell you that. He was kind of bullheaded and kind of bucked up against me a couple times, and we just tried to show him love and tried to show him the gospel. And so he's in a pretty bad way right now. I've seen God take people out of worse and bring them out, and boy, I mean, talk about turning around, at least given the opportunity to. So that's what we're going to pray for him. And I like him, but he's lived a pretty rough life. And nobody's too bad to save. I know some people that are too good. Amen? They think they are. So anyway, Deuteronomy 32, here's what we're talking about. Verse 30, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock, notice the R there, it's the little R, then the big R. Their rock is not as our rock. Our rock is Christ. He's the stone cut out without hands. He's the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. Even our enemies themselves being judges. So it's giving you comparisons. Their rock and our rock. Their God and our God. When everybody says, well, worship the same God. No, we don't. Their God's mean and cruel. Ours is not. Their God requires you to sacrifice yourself for Him. Our God sacrificed Himself for us. That's the difference. And then verse 32, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. And Sodom and Gomorrah is known for Sodom and Gomorrah. They are famous within themselves. But the Bible uses the word, and it's still being used in a lot of places in the world, sodomy, sodomite. And it basically revolves around what the men of Sodom wanted to do to the two men angels that came to deliver Lot and his family from God's judgment. And what those men, both old and young, the Bible says, they came and they wanted those men, those angels, for one purpose only. And so that's the nature and the character. So if the vine is from Sodom, what fruit does it produce? No pun intended. But it produces the fruit of Sodom. So this is why you have the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention who came out recently and said that he would no longer use gender personal pronouns to people except what they wanted him to use. In other words, if it was, and Joe Biden said this the other day in an interview. He said, I believe in a prison that a person should be in whatever prison they identify themselves as far as gender is concerned. You think that's a good, anybody think that's a good idea to put a man in a woman's prison? Just because he says, I'm a woman today? That's not a good idea. Okay? Or a woman in a men's prison because she transgendered in her mind and she feels like a man. Anybody think that's a good idea? It's crazy. Okay? How these people get elected and say this stuff, I have no idea. But anyway, that's the fruit that it produces. And it is not a happy life. These people are not happy. They are very depressed, very angry people. You can just tell that. There's nothing satisfying about that lifestyle. Or any kind of sinful lifestyle. I don't care if it's sodomy, I don't care if it's alcohol, drugs, you name it. There's nothing satisfying. Drugs, you never get high enough, ever. You never get high enough, which is why everybody's overdosing now. They want this ultimate high that lasts them a long time, so they end up taking more than what they should, or they don't know that it's laced with so much fentanyl, they don't know what's in it. But anyway, there's nothing happy about that life. It's very bitter life. Verse 33, their wine then is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. So think about the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, because this is where we're going tonight. We're studying the doctrine of the Bible. God's Word is pure. God's Word is right. What God said is true. We believe it. We stand on it. We say amen to it. We live by it. It's God's Word that's going to judge us all. I'm not judging anybody. Don't have a right to. And neither does anybody else. God does. And He's going to judge them not on the basis of what they've invented in their mind. He's going to judge them on His written law. Okay? If a high-ranking member of Congress should get arrested, should they be judged by the same laws that govern us? Absolutely. I don't care how high they are. What about His Royal Highness, the Duke of York, Prince Edward, in England? Epstein Island. They'll never touch him over there. But he's got lawyers in America that have said if he ever comes over here, we're going to have him subpoenaed because they're suing him over this Epstein deal because he's been there a bunch of times and they've got the evidence on him. So it doesn't matter how high he thinks he is, he should be judged the way everybody else is judged. Everybody's going to be judged equally in God's court. They're going to be judged according to the words that are in this book. Okay? So think of why Satan hates the Bible. Think of why some people hate the Constitution. They hate it because it doesn't let them do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to. It restricts people, but it also protects people. What restricts my actions in the form of the laws in this country protects me from somebody else's actions against me. Amen? That's how it works. The devil wants that taken away. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Well, I'm not even in my notes yet. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. So he's questioning God's word. He's trying to deauthorize God's word. He's trying to make Eve think, maybe God didn't say this. And if God didn't say it, then you're okay. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God really say that? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God did not say that part. She added that, lest ye die. But God did say, ye shall not eat of it, lest ye die. Then the devil counters back with another argument. And he says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's directly contradicting what God said. He's given her the exact opposite of it. And here's what it is. God said there are penalties and consequences for our actions. Who believes that? We're supposed to teach our children that. And our grandchildren that. Don't run through Mamaw's house. Don't eat your food in Mamaw's floor. Don't play with those Nerf guns in here. You're going to shoot Mamaw's stuff out, okay? Or whatever. We're supposed to teach them that there are consequences for their actions. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. Grown-ups, little kids, everybody does. The devil wants her to think that there will be no consequences. You shall not surely die. God's covering something up. It's a big conspiracy. It's a cover-up is what it is. God doesn't want you to know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay? It's the promise of immortality by some other way. So he takes away God's word, but now there's a vacuum. There's a void. So he's going to fill the void with his own version of what that tree is about. God said, don't eat of it. You'll die. Okay? Now, if you're walking along a creek bank, like Joachim Creek out here, anybody ever swim in Joachim Creek? Did you ever swim in there? We did. We was kids. We didn't know they were dumping nuclear waste in there. And they were. But they were. We didn't know it. We're sitting there. That's why I'm the way I am now. I glow on some nights. We didn't think nothing of it. But if there's a big sign that says no swimming, danger, no swimming. If you swim there, whose fault is it? It's yours. You may not know why. You may not understand why. But if they put a sign up that said danger, no swimming here, don't swim there. Or you'll face the consequences. And that's what the devil's trying to convince everybody of. There are no consequences. You can do whatever you want to. Okay? So, Jeremiah 23. We haven't even prayed yet. I asked that question about a virus because that's what's on everybody's mind right now, is this virus. And for the life of me, I cannot figure this out. I mean, the flu is worse. Okay, it's a far worse killer. The common cold is bad. It could kill people. I don't know. Maybe there's something about it. I don't know that the CDC knows or the World Health Organization. I doubt it, but maybe there's something about it I don't understand. Maybe the Chinese people know there's something else with it that they're not telling everybody. I don't get it. But it's driven people to the point of there is nothing at the store. I've never in my life seen anything like this. Usually you go to the store before it snows and there's no bread, milk, and eggs. But there's plenty of everything else. Now there's not. There is. I got the last 7 packages of ramen soup. Okay? There's 7 left, and I got them. The big ones. Not the little ones, but the big ones. Okay? I figure that'll feed me and Lisa for a couple weeks anyway. But I've never seen anything like this, but it's got people afraid. And what a virus is, and I talked about this the other day, but what a virus is just a capsule that has a strand of RNA or DNA. Sometimes RNA is single strand, DNA is double stranded. And what that is a code. It's genetics, it's genes is what it is. And once inside the body, that capsule attaches to a cell and then stings it. It injects that little strip of code, genetic code, into that cell. And then that little strand of DNA or RNA will then try to attach itself to your DNA. Okay? And with some diseases, it's permanent. You never don't have, once you get it, you never get rid of it, because once it attaches to your DNA, your cell reproduces that same thing and you have it now for the rest of your life. Herpes is one of them. Okay? There's others, I'm sure, but that's one of them that once you get it, you've got it for the rest of your life. Okay? So what it is, it's like a sentence of poison. It's poison words. It's like me saying God's word is true and the devil saying God's word is not true. Well, that's poison to some people. That's poison to everybody. Okay? And if you're not inoculated against it, if you don't have a shield of faith against it, you'll believe that. And that'll kill you. That will make you dead eternally. So, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, listen to what he said in verse 30. Therefore, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord. You know who that is? It's all the preachers. I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. That instead of giving them the word, they take them away from everybody. They bring about a situation where you no longer bring a Bible to church and you no longer read one at home. Because they've written several books and you read their books and you listen to their messages, but they're not giving you God's Word. So they have, in essence, they've stolen God's Word away from you. They've stolen it. Okay? Mark 4:15. Turn there very quickly. Mark 4:15. Mark these verses. Underline them in your Bible. So you're reading along, flipping through your Bible, and you say, why did I underline that? You'll read it and you'll remember what was said. Mark 4:15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So this is somebody you're trying to talk to about Jesus. You're trying to witness to them about the Lord. You're on Facebook or you're trying to send text messages to them because you love them. And you don't want them to, you want them to believe the truth. You want them to be saved. All you do is love them. You're not trying to judge them. Just give them Bible verses. Okay? And then you get something back that says, stop that. I don't want that. That's not what I need right now. That's the devil immediately taking away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's gone now. And it's just like when seed falls on the ground, if that seed does not have the opportunity to go into the ground, be activated by water so it can grow, birds or anything will come along and they will eat that seed up and it's gone. And what do they turn it into? Dung. Bird droppings. Like what's on your car, okay? So that's how the devil, that's what he did. That's what he did. When he showed up, here's God giving a commandment to Adam. He creates Eve. The devil shows up right away. Boom. Takes the word away from her. And it worked. It worked. She now believes what the serpent said to her, more than what God said to her or what God told Adam and Adam told to her. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless your word tonight. Open our eyes. Help us to see, Father, what's going on in this world. Help us to be alert. And Father, these are very uncertain days. Days that we have not seen before. And maybe we were prepared for it, maybe we weren't, but we're in them now. And Father, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know but what they're going to shut something else down tomorrow. We're hoping the trucks are able to get to Walmart, all the grocery stores. But Father, we don't know what could happen next. So all we have to do, the only thing we can do, is trust you. You fed Israel in the wilderness. You never, ever in 40 years let them go hungry one time. You fed Elijah one time and he didn't have to eat again for 40 days after that. Father, feed us tonight. We live in uncertain times. We don't know, Father, the next time we'll be able to get together. We don't know the next time we'll be able to read your word. So, Father, feed us now. Open our eyes up, we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Now, I read Deuteronomy 32. Turn to John 15. This is the comparison that the Bible gives you. John chapter 15. So the enemy has the vine of Sodom. It's full of poison. It's the wine is a virus. Their wine is a virus. It's the poison of dragons. So that's what the flu is. That's what a virus is. The flu, a virus of any kind, injects something in you, a genetic code, that causes your body to manufacture its own death. Causes your body to manufacture its own poison, in other words. Okay? I told him the other day about Patricia Stallings. You remember her? You remember Patty Stallings? She was a Jefferson County gal back in the late 80s. She was arrested because her baby got real bad sick and died. And they said, they sent the blood to the lab. The lad came back and said that she had fed the baby antifreeze. They found that, what is that, methyl alcohol? Or ethyl alcohol, something like that. Ethylene glycol. Maybe that's what it is. But that's what they said they found in the baby's blood. So they had her on trial. She had a jerk of a lawyer. He didn't help her any. They found her guilty of murdering. Meanwhile, she was pregnant, had another baby. They took that baby away. She got to visit the baby one time, and after she visited the baby, that baby got sick. So they said, man, she did it again. We don't know where she got the antifreeze, but she fed that baby antifreeze. So, I mean, they thought they had her dead to rights. They locked her up in prison, threw away the key. She was found guilty of murder and attempted murder. All of a sudden, I don't know who it was, but they made a movie about this gal. This other lawyer got involved, and he said, you know what the half-life of ethylene glycol is in the human body? And he traced it down, you know, with something in your body, it breaks down by half every so hours, like medicine you take. And he said, I did the math. He said, from the time you fed your baby there when you had that visit, to the time they drew that baby's blood and found what they said was a tablespoonful of ethylene glycol in its system, you would have had to give that baby 10 gallons of antifreeze. Not possible. So they tested the second baby was still alive. They tested, found out it had a genetic defect in it that produced something similar to ethylene glycol in its own system. It was producing its own poison. That's what the first baby died of. Okay? She sued the lab, and it was the lab over here by the hospital. Used to get all the hospital business, used to get all the testing done in Jefferson County. They're gone. Sued them and won an undisclosed amount of money. It was a ton of money. Your brother knew her. I mean, she got a truckload of money. She put signs up all over Jefferson County, vote against whoever that prosecutor was. And he was out of office the next election. Gone. Okay? But the genetic code of those children produced those babies' own poison. That's what killed the first one and made the second one sick. Okay? So that's what a virus can do. Can trick your body into creating its own death. That's what sin does. Amen? It's what listening to the wrong advice does. Be not deceived, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That doesn't mean don't burp at the table and wipe your mouth. It doesn't mean that. It means the lifestyle that God teaches you out of the Bible, the wrong things going into your mind will influence that. Should we let our children listen to the rap music that people are listening to right now? We was at Walmart the other day, got out of the car, and a gal pulled up, and she opened her door, and they were using, there's no way in the world I'm even going to get close to saying what they were saying. It was very loud. You know, back when we was young, they sang love songs about love. Now they're singing, I won't even do it. It was bad. It made me mad. That stuff going into young people's minds, are we crazy? We're feeding them mind poison. By letting them listen to that, by letting them watch stuff on the internet or TV that they shouldn't watch, we're doing that. Okay? It's the same thing as drinking poison. Okay? So John 15, here's what Jesus said. I'm the true vine. He means what He says. He doesn't. We have a God who won't lie to us, ever. And my Father is the husbandman. Husbandman means, not the husband, means the vine dresser. He's the one in charge of the vine. And He said in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. That's what the vine dresser does. He looks at the vine, he sees that a branch that consistently has not produced any fruit, all that branch is doing is, see, this is socialism 101. Socialism says, oh, those poor branches, they can't do anything. So let everybody else give them our money. That's socialism. What does the vine dresser do? Cut it off. So I give you a chance, okay? If you're too lazy. I mean, if you're like some of these group home people that we get, I'm okay with that. Give them all the money in the world. Okay? But if you're too lazy to get up, well, go to work. And that was one of the things Pelosi was trying to stick into this coronavirus bill, was she was trying to remove the welfare to work clause out of the laws. The laws say that if you're on welfare, eventually you need to get up and go to work. She was trying to slip stuff in to have that removed out of the laws, and they caught her on it. That's why it hasn't passed yet. Got to read the bill. Got to read it before you pass it. Not pass it, then read it. I'm the true vine, my Father's husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, God knows what He's doing. He knows that if He's going to bless us, He's got to purge some things off of us. Us. Take some things out of our lives so we're more fruitful. So we're better people. Okay? Now you're clean through what? The Word which I have spoken unto you. So, you're out in the world all day. You're hearing stuff going on in this world. I mean, it happens. Everybody, it all happens. When I worked in construction, I heard it. And it influences you. It has effect on your mind. So you got to clean that out. Every day when I would come home, I'd just be filthy. Have paint all in my hair and in my ears and up my nose. And I'd say, honey, give me a hug. She ain't touching you. Get in the shower. Filthy animal, you. So I had to clean up. For my wife will hug me. And that's what He's doing. He's trying to clean us up. We get out in the world and we get dirty. So now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that if you cut the branch off and just let it hang out there, it's going to die. And that's what he says here. He said the branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, verse 5, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. What's the fire? Hell. Cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody say amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. I got to read verse 9 too. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And how hard is that? To be around somebody that you know loves you. Amen? To be around somebody that you know loves you. There's nothing hard about that at all. And so we hang around Jesus. Amen? Now, Matthew 16. Turn there. Matthew 16. We've been studying the Bible, how God's preserved it. And because of the virus, I decided maybe to change it up a little bit and talk about how the devil loves to corrupt it. And that's what viruses do. They corrupt your DNA to either make you sick or to kill you. That's what they do. Here's my theory. When did God create viruses? You ever think about that? Huh? In the beginning. Here's my theory. In Matthew 13, we have the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the wheat was God sowed good seed in this earth. And if you look in Genesis 1, everything that God made, He said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. He said it was all good. But then, later on, the enemy came and sowed tares in among the wheat. And tares, you can look this up, we call it darnel. But it's called poison darnel. And go to Wikipedia or any place online and read on this. It is fascinating. Because poison darnel, when it's grown up, looks just like wheat. It's green. Has little seeds on it like wheat does. And somebody who really knows their stuff can tell the difference. But if you're just looking out in the field, all you see is green everywhere. So you can't really tell the difference. But when it ripens, it grows a fungus on its seeds. And that fungus is an intoxicant. First, it makes you nuts, crazy, drunk. Then it kills you. Okay? So that's, to me, whenever Satan introduced his lies to Eve, that's my theory. That's, I think, when viruses showed up. Does it make sense? I could be wrong, but anyway. All right, Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So what is leaven? It's yeast. What does yeast do? Again, do what? Okay, here's how it works. It's like a virus in that it's a little hard shell spore. And inside of that is a little microbe, a little one-celled deal. And that one-celled organism eats one thing. Sugar, and it eats a lot of it. So what it does, wheat and bread are carbohydrates, which means they're loaded with potential sugar. Okay? So what it does in bread is the same thing it does in beer and wine. In vodka or sake, any kind of alcoholic drink, here's what it does. Once the spore opens and that little germ inside eats the sugar, it then releases, it converts that sugar into alcohol. The leaven, this is why when bread's going bad, you ever notice it smells like beer? Okay? I'm going, why does this smell like beer? Ugh. Well, it's because it's going bad. And they put leaven in with the hops and the barley to make beer. It eats the sugar, eats the sweetness out of it, and releases something that makes you intoxicated. So it doesn't matter if it's bread. So that's where the air bubbles come in bread. You're right. It's what makes the bread rise up. It's what makes your beer foamy. It's what makes champagne bubbly, I guess. And it's what puts alcohol into alcoholic beverages. It's the yeast. And so look at what he said. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, see, Jesus can always read your mind. When he perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? I wasn't talking about bread. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the words of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Here's how I see it. A false god is the same as believing in no god. Believing a false god or a false doctrine is no different than believing in no god. Bernie Sanders does not believe. He's an atheist. And I ask the question, if he gets elected, what's he going to swear on and by? Because he doesn't have to swear on a Bible. That's not in the Constitution. But he does have to say, so help me God. He has to say that. There's no way out of it. And if he doesn't take the oath of office, he can't be president. That's the law. So how is an atheist going to stand up there and say, so help me God, when he doesn't believe in him? Which is why you shouldn't vote for him, by the way. Amen. So leaven is just like a virus. It eats what's good and uses that to create poison. Okay? It's the same idea, same concept. So, I mean, there's viruses, there's leaven. Everything that spoils things in the refrigerator, like bacteria, to take a spoil means to steal what you have and take it for themselves. So when something spoils in the refrigerator, it's the bacteria that eats it so that you can't. It turns it to rot. Galatians 5. Paul said this, verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who told you what? Who told you the lie so that you don't obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And then he warned them, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How much does it take? Not much. I mean, how many of this coronavirus spores do you need in your body in order for you to get sick? One. Because once it's in your body, what's it going to do? Turn into 2, and then 4, and then 8, 6, and then just like a petri dish. Or your refrigerator. Or the back seat of your car. Okay? So watch this. Turn to John 1. And I'll show you how it works. This is the devil. Man, he's good at corrupting things, isn't he? He's good at corrupting politicians. He's good at corrupting laws. He's good at corrupting families. He's good at corrupting religions. He's good at corrupting churches and preachers and Bibles. That's what he does. He gets in. He infects. He sows tares among the wheat. The tares are poison. Poison words. He sows them among the wheat. He's the enemy that did it. And he did it in order to ruin the whole... I mean, think of the servants that came in and told their Lord, you see what happened? We've been out there. There's tares all over the place. Mingled in amongst all of our wheat. What are we going to do? Have to burn the whole thing down? What are we going to do? Can we go pull them up now? And Jesus knew that, said, no, not yet. Wait till the harvest, because the harvest you'll be able to tell the difference. Because the wheat will turn gold, the poison darnel will turn black, and then you'll know which is which. So, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Plain and simple. Jesus is the Word. 1 John 5:7 tells us that. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Revelation 19 tells us that Jesus, His name is the Word of God. So we know who the Word is. And it's saying here that Jesus, the Word, is God. So God is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So the New World Translation, which is the Jehovah's Witness Bible, added one letter to that verse. Just one letter only. And instead of saying the Word was God, it says the Word was a God. So just that one spore, that one grain of leaven, that one little husk of virus, just with that one, you've basically recreated throughout the whole Bible who Jesus is. Now He's not God. He is a God, meaning lesser than. This is what I wrote. The addition of one letter, A, alters not only the meaning of this verse, but skews the reader's entire understanding of who Christ is in all the Bible. Is He fully God, per the KJV, King James Bible, or a lesser created God, but still a high spiritual being, as per the New World Translation? Which is He? And all you had to do was add one letter to one verse to change everything about who Jesus is. One letter does the trick. A little leaven does leaven the whole lump, doesn't it? Okay? So, I mean, what are they telling us now? Social distance? What does that mean? Stay 6 feet away from me at all times. Don't breathe in my direction. Okay? We're not shaking hands. Bernie Sanders and Biden bumped elbows. Who cares? Okay? But they're telling us, and even the president said, everybody stay away from everybody for 15 days. We can knock this thing down. If we limit the spread, it'll eventually take care of itself. Flu season will be over. Okay? But then you've got some people telling you, oh my goodness, there's going to be, who was it? Bill Gates said 30 million people are going to die from this. I don't believe that. I think 30 million people might die from Bill Gates, but I don't think they'll die from him. So look at this verse, Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 2. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And what I've underlined there has been omitted in the New International Version, the New American Standard Version. Yes. I think I know what that is. Oh, yeah, I want that. Get that sweetie pie. Let me see that. That's good. That's good. You ain't sick, are you? Look at that. And this is between the King James and the New King James. Look at that. Omissions just between the King James and the New King James. How about Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's omitted. And we're talking about, we're not just talking about one word or one letter. We're talking about whole half of a verse here, been taken out of the new translations. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of our Lord Jesus Christ have been omitted. Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. That's been omitted. The only other place that that verse is in Mark 9:29, they put in, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer, but they eliminated fasting. So I want you to think about this. The enemy knows what works against the enemy. The enemy knows that prayer and fasting can drive him away. So what did he succeed in doing? Making every, and I actually had a guy, Lisa was there. We were down in southern Missouri, and I was preaching this, and a guy was there that hated my guts. And I said, if you'll come tomorrow night, I'll show you the difference between the King James and the New Translations. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in prayer and fasting? He said, absolutely not. And I went, whoa, because I was thinking he'd say, well, of course I do. And I was going to say, then find it in your NIV. To which he was going to go, oh, it's not there. And then I was going to win the argument. But it didn't work out that way. Because I said, do you believe that prayer and fasting gets rid of devils? He said, absolutely not. That was added by the King James translators. I said, you and I are not anywhere near one another. We're not even on the same planet as far as what we believe. Okay? Needless to say, I didn't really make a believer out of him. But that's omitted. Acts 10:30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. It was taken out in Acts 10:30. 1 Corinthians 7:5, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. That was taken out in the new translations, the word fasting. So, 2 Corinthians 6:5, in strikes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fastings. In fastings was taken out. 2 Corinthians 11:27, in weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked. How many times was fasting taken out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times it was omitted out of the modern translations. The devil knows how dangerous a hungry saint is. So he made sure that all of these Greek transcripts of the New Testament that are corrupt, he made sure that the right words were corrupted out. And fasting is one of them. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And what I have underlined was omitted. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. The whole verse is gone. Matthew 23:14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. The whole verse is gone. Mark 10:21. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross has been taken out. So you do have a lot of people who say they follow Christ, but they don't take up the cross. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That whole verse was taken out. Mark 6:11, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That part was taken out. Mark 15:28, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. They took it out. Luke 23:38, and the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. That was taken out. Christ, our sacrifices, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. For us is omitted. The phrase Holy Ghost taken out in Matthew 12:31. Where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Omitted, both times. Two men shall be left in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Gone. They that they might accuse him, omitted. They struck him in the face, omitted. The verse, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Omitted, whole verse, gone. Romans 8:1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's been taken out. Very quickly, I know it's getting a little late, but in the NIV, the word hell is 54 times in this Bible. In the NIV, it's only mentioned 13 times. 41 times they took the word hell out of the Bible and replaced it with either the dead or the realm of the dead. But they took hell out. They did it 22 times in the New King James. And so what is Jehovah's Witness doctrine? Jehovah's Witness doctrine believes that you don't go to hell. Hell is the grave. You just go and lay in the grave and that's it. So the Jehovah's Witness could win the argument with an NIV or a New King James Bible, because their Bible replaces hell with the grave or the place of the dead. And you get me going. 1 John 5:7. Here, look at here. Grave, Hades, a realm of the dead. Out of the occurrences of the word hell in the King James, the NIV only lists 13 times. So remember what I said. We teach our children that there are consequences for wrongdoing. If there are no consequences for wrongdoing, will people do what's wrong? I'll do it. I will. If I wasn't afraid of going to hell, you would not like me. You would not want me around you if I wasn't afraid of going to hell. So what have they done here in these new Bibles? They've removed the consequences. They have said, ye shall not surely die. Tell them I'll call them back in a little bit, all right? I know it's for me. It's got to be for me, all right? So, somebody planted tares among the wheat. Somebody planted poison in the churches. Did they not? That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I fear. Not this corona thing. Okay? I'm more concerned about... See, I can get sick and die here. I'll live forever. But if I get sick and die spiritually, I'm dead forever spiritually in the lake of fire.